free to go. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you now for your word to us. We thank you for the way you speak to our hearts. And we pray that now in this moment, you'd equip us for today and stir us in knowing the things that Christmas really, really talks about. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a famous leader in the church called St. Augustine. And when he was wondering out loud about the meaning of Christmas, this is what he wrote down. He thought about it, and then this is what he said. He lies in a manger, but he holds the world in his hand. He is nourished at the breast, but he feeds the angels. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he clothes us with immortality. He is suckled, but he is adored. He does not find room in the inn, but he makes a temple for himself in the hearts of believers. For strength, that day took on weakness, so that weakness might become strong. Therefore, let us marvel at, rather than despise, his human birth. From it, let us learn the lowliness which such loftiness assumed for our sake. Then, let us enkindle our love so that we may come to his eternal day. There are many things that happen at Christmas time, but one of the things is that we celebrate a season every year. It starts earlier and earlier. I think hot cross buns are already out, ready for the next season. But we have seasons, and so we go and we know January's kind of January, February, back to school. We know Easter's March, April. Winter time, it's time to go holidaying in Queensland. And then springtime, it's, you know, when Port Adelaide shine. And we remember along the church year, the Spirit poured out. And then we start afresh as we remember the season of Christmas. So it seems to go round and round and round and round. And someone once wrote a song, "All My Life's a Circle, Sunrise and Sundown." And so it seems to go round and round. But the great thing about Christmas, the really important thing, is that it's one change, one great change, that took place. And Jonathan read, he said, in the former times, there's two times. The former times, from when God created the world right up to the birth of Jesus, God used to speak to us through the prophets. He used to send someone with a message, and that message would get to us. And he spoke to his people, and he spoke in many and various ways. People had dreams. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So there's the first age right up to the birth of Jesus. And even we used to write a lot BC, before the birth of Christ. And then AD was after his birth. So we know those two breaks, and the world has got this good news that ever since Jesus came, something is completely different. There's a new season, there's a new era, there's a new age, and there's one more to come, one more age to come, and that is the opening up of eternal life. And Jesus has already started that. When he went down into death, he took us all with him. And when he rose from the grave, He took us with him. He's already seated in heaven. When he comes, we will know our sins were really forgiven on the cross. We can know it now by faith, but we'll be sure of it, so certain, because the Spirit's been telling us, and then we'll go, wow, it is a new world. He will come, and the third, the great era, the greatest of all, will be that there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more COVID-19, there will be no more curse. That diseasey thing that happens won't happen. So, three eras. The one up to the birth of Christ. Now you're in the second, the greatest era we've ever known. Friends, do you know the grace of God? Your sins are forgiven. The curse, Christ has triumphed over that. And even sorrow and sadness is tinged now with hope and joy. It's bubbling up underneath, hope and joy. That is the message of Christmas. The greatness of Christ is near to us. No more then should we let sorrows grow. I know many people lose a loved one. One of my friends, he lost his daughter on Christmas Day. We woke to the news down at Yankalilla, and her life had been tragically taken from her. So every Christmas he has that. He and his wife both have that. However, he knows a deeper joy. He's a Christian. He's a believer. He believes he'll see his daughter again, and they will rejoice and be glad. So even his sadness today is tinged with hope. All things shall pass, and Christ, who was born for us at Christmas, will come again, and that is our hope. Friends, today, try not to let the sorrows keep growing. Push them down a little. The thorns infest the ground. Keep pulling out the thorns and the weeds, and let that new hope keep rising, keep coming over the top of all the effects of the curse. That's the creation not working quite properly. And then the last one is our sins, I've said, are all forgiven. When you meet your uncle or auntie or your cousin who always teases you and goes, aha, remember what you did last year? And you think, oh yeah. Just go in boldly, knowing your sins are all forgiven. And forgive and love that annoying person with all your heart, because their sins are forgiven too. May God continue to reconcile through Christ all things until that great day when everything's reconciled, and there'll be much more fun than ever even there is now. May God bless you today. I don't think on Christmas Day it's a sin to eat too much. May you... yes, tomorrow. Tomorrow's just got to ease back a bit, you know. But today, it can go. Go in peace and enjoy your Christmas Day. And thank you for coming and helping us make a morning this morning. We're going to sing our...